Welcome to episode 231.
We can start now.
Okay. Hello and welcome to episode 231 of Magic the Amateuring, a show about magic, by magic, and for magic.
That's right. By magic, you ask yourself. Yes, we respond to you. We are sitting next to the incarnation of magic.
That's right. It's a large, sparkly cloud.
Yep, it sure is. Look at that cloud sparkle.
I'm taking in its magical energy and putting it through my vocal nodes out to you in humanity.
That's right. But Maria, you shouldn't have vocal nodes.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Those are bad. You should get that checked out.
I should be going to a doctor right now.
You really should be. Vocal cords, you can have. Vocal nodes, not so much.
That's so accurate. But just a side note, we are not a medical podcast.
We are not a medical podcast. We are a podcast about magic. I'm one of your hosts, Megan.
And I'm one of your hosts, Maria. And if something seemed different to you this episode than ever before, it's the fact that both of us now have nose rings.
Oh, that's been for a while.
I know, but I just realized that I felt the necessity to point it out.
Oh, I was going to say, oh, no, I don't even know. I was like, what is different? Nothing's different. Everything's the same.
Well, there is some different things happening, including brand new cards, which are coming out the card chute into your hands very soon.
That's right. We're going to drive the magic cement truck into the sidewalk that is your brain and lay some concrete where it'll dry.
If you're quick, you can put your finger handprints into it.
That's right.
And they'll be kept there for future forensic scientists that need to match your little squiggles to the scene of a crime.
Ooh, so just remember, if you're ever thinking, man, I want to make a mark in this concrete, don't do it unless you're planning on having a clean record for the rest of your life.
Agree.
Or as long as you don't plan on being mistaken for someone mm-hmm. who is wanted for a crime. Mm-hmm. Because do you know what would be worse than committing a crime, Maria, and getting justly punished for it?
What?
Being falsely convicted of a crime.
I agree.
Did you know that's one of my, like, fears?
I know a lot of your fears. I didn't know that was
one. That's one of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Is to be, like, framed for a crime that I didn't commit and to be, like, go to jail for it.
Do you have a twin?
I don't.
Okay, your chances
that I know of.
Have dropped.
Yeah, but you never know.
I guess you don't. Nobody out there framed Megan. That's so mean. Just don't do it if you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to you today, speaking of frames, card frames.
Smooth transition,
really
buddy.
Bad segue. Hour of Devastation has some new cards, as we said, coming in the concrete truck, and we're going to talk about those as well as story time. If you're behind on the magic story, don't worry, we've got a story time with Megan to catch you up.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about Vintage Cube, which Megan has been slaying over here.
Oh, I mean, like, I've been doing busted things. I've also been losing games.
Well, you know, what's the real loss? The person who didn't do a busted thing or the person who did a busted thing?
Oh, it's definitely the person who didn't do a busted thing.
Exactly. And we have a quick recap from Vegas. Since the last episode was our live panel show from Vegas, we didn't get a chance to talk about what really happened there. And we had a team limited event in GP Cleveland this past weekend, so we're going to touch on that as well. But before any of that goodness, you know, gets ready to...
Graciousness.
Come into your good graces. We have some people to thank, namely you.
That's right. If you are a supporter of the podcast over at patreon.com/mtacast, thank you so much. I was, in fact, just earlier today putting together our little spreadsheet that I keep of all of our patrons, you know, to keep our records organized. And I was just thinking about, like, how much I appreciate everybody who contributes to the show, because it means so much to us.
And when you come up to us at events and you let us know you're a patron, I mean, it's just like, I don't know if you can see it in her eyes, it's just like light up.
Yes.
Like, thank you. It's so wonderful that people value our show and are willing to say thank you and keep it going and support it and being able to allow us to do more for the show and for you is just like the greatest gift anyone could give us. So if you're considering becoming a patron and you haven't yet, I would tell you to highly consider it, because it does make an enormous difference in what we're able to do for you each week. So thank you to everyone who's become a new member of the Less Than 1% Club, and people who have been members for a long time too, because they're our bedrock, man.
Yeah, they're the cornerstone.
The cornerstone in our magical
building.
Building. Gothic architecture.
Oh, yeah, man. Gothic architecture is pretty neat.
We have some gargoyles out on the front.
I wish.
It looks great, and it's just a big, like, rock sign that says Magic the Amateur.
Yes, exactly. Like, carved. It's granite. Oh,
this would be so cool. Chiseled into granite.
I wish. We also need to thank our sponsor, cardkingdom.com/MTAcast, a wonderful place to get all of the things that you need to play the greatest game in the world.
So Card Kingdom, we talk about them a lot. We've mentioned their battle decks, which is a great way to teach your friend a game.
That's right. Like this one, Marsh Madness.
Marsh Madness.
Also, great pun, pun titles on these battle decks.
Fantastic.
They're so good.
And they've got decks that are strictly for beginners. So they have mono color decks like red, green, blue, whatever color you think your friend would like. Use that to teach your friend. They're very cheap. cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. If you go there through our link, you're letting them know that you like us and you also like them. So thank you to Card Kingdom for being an awesome store and just the place that everyone who's really good people shops for magic gear. Of course, we want to tell you to go to youtube.com/MTAcast. Hit the sub button because we're putting up new videos there. We've got YouTube's Day. Having every Tuesday, we've got a new video. Thursday, we've got the video version of this podcast.
Thank goodness we didn't choose a day like Wednesday because YouTube-ness Day just doesn't sound as good as YouTube's Day.
YouTube-ness Day. Oh, no, no, it does not.
No, it really,
doesn't work out.
We really did. So head on over there. We've got stuff like new episodes of My Roommate is a Planeswalker.
Yes.
There are now two episodes up in season two. We also have some sweet magic PSAs that let you and people who are new to the game know exactly what is dangerous in the world of magic.
We've got more of those coming up, too.
Dare to not do that stuff. That's how that program acronym worked, right? Mm-hmm. It's called Dare to Not Do That Stuff.
I dare you not to do drugs.
Exactly. Do you know what? As a kid, I think that's probably what I thought was like going on.
I mean, like, when you think about it, why was it called Dare?
I have no idea.
Was it because, like, I dare you to be cool enough not to do drugs or something like that?
I think so. So, hey, if you know why it's called Dare, please tweet at us.
We know it's an acronym. We know it's an acronym. Beyond that.
But what does it even stand for?
Drugs.
Drug and resisting
everything. That's it.
Perfect. Perfect.
It's time for story time with Megan.
That's right, everybody. I went ahead and read all of the Hour of Devastation story through right now. I haven't caught you all up in a while, so I had a couple of weeks worth of stories to catch up on. But now I'm here to catch you up on what I caught up on.
So tuck yourself into bed, make yourself a nice hot toddy, snuggle up with your teddy bear, and listen to the magic story as it's been going down.
That's right, but this one maybe isn't one to go to sleep to, because man, is it dark and pretty dark. So, basically, the first couple of, I think the last place that we left it, I was telling you guys, like, Gideon was all about Oketra. He was like, oh my goodness, there's gods here. And also, Oketra is the best. And I know that she's not evil. And everyone's like, okay, Gideon, whatever. And then the next couple of episodes are honestly kind of like an episode of Scooby-Doo, where the Scooby gang is like going around Amonkhet being like, something's not right here.
In a Scooby van?
Yeah, in a Scooby van. So it's like Nyssa and Chandra and Jace and Liliana wandering around being like, what?
You know what? You would not be the first person to compare them to the Scooby game.
Yeah,
I'm sure
not. Right? Because that's just what it feels like. And in this case, it's like, there's a monster tormenting Amonkhet, but when we unravel the mummy, it's going to be Nicole Bolas the whole time. So yeah, that's going
on.
So
going
they
around.
Find like these old hieroglyphs and stuff that show that Nicole Bolas didn't make this plane, he corrupted it, because they find all of these older etchings of things that are like, of the gods, the five gods that they know, and then also three other gods that they don't know, and that stuff's super old, and then Nicole Bolas' stuff is newer.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, wait, so he, like, the gods, he corrupted the gods, and he corrupted the plane to do all this stuff. And they find out that the culture of Amonkhet, and I think I mentioned this already, is just, like, all about completing the trials.
Yes.
And dying in the trials.
I mean, it's terrible.
Everyone wants to die.
I mean, like,
they're all about it. in this.
Your reward of death.
They want death to die in battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're just like, please, I want to die in battle, or I want to make it through the final trial, and then Hazoret kills you at the end of the final trial.
Great.
And that's like the greatest reward, right? And then there's all of the mummies are like, they find out that all of the, like, the anointed, right? That
yes, are, the helper mummies.
And they take care of the day-to-day. They yeah. do everything.
So like
they,
the,
like, take care of kids, and they, like, take...
It's weird.
You know, they, like, wrap all the other mummies. They do all of the day-to-day stuff. And those are people who died in the trials.
Oh, okay, but they were not mummies. The final one.
No, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, only the people who die in the final trial are sent, like, beyond the gates to some big... thing that we're still getting to. So anyways, they're just like, this is weird and creepy. And you're like, I agree. And also it's kind of messed up. And Gideon makes a friend, Jero, who's
has like, a lot of resolve.
He really does. He really does. And he and Samet used to be best friends back in the day. And so you get this whole backstory of once upon a time when they were kids, they had a third friend who was an Aven. And the three of them were like, we're so excited for all the trials and everything someday. And then Jero finds like a little break in the Hekma and they go outside. The Hekma is the big protective bubble.
Yeah.
So they go outside and there's like these barren wastes and then they find like the destruction of another city. And then their little Aven friend gets killed by like a demon. By a Grimstrider type demon, which is, and then they're both just, you know, like traumatized as kids are. And it makes Jero be like super resolved. He's like, my friend died like a senseless, like meaningless death. And if I compete in the trials, it's a meaningful death. So that's their way of making life meaningful is like, I'm going to compete in the trials.
Okay.
And my death will be meaningful. And when the God Pharaoh comes back, we'll all bask in, you know, paradise. And Samet, it makes her question everything. And she's just like, this seems effed up and not real. And so she also finds some hieroglyphs that name Nicol Bolas as a trespasser. She's like, what? Which is why she becomes a heretic.
Oh, okay.
And then so the two of them have like a, you know, a big time fight. And it turns out also, side note, Liliana is there looking for the third demon of the four because she's killed two of them, right?
Yes.
She killed Kothafen, she killed Gristlebrand, and she's there looking for Razaketh.
So these are the demons that make, like, have her in a pact or whatever.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So these are the four demons that she, like, signed a contract with. She gave him her soul, and then they gave her, you know, her youth and her magic back.
Right.
So she's there looking for Razaketh, and then all of the Gatewatch is like, oh, I wish you had told us that. And Liliana's like, my bad. Whatever.
Flavor text for the ages.
and then it also turns out, like, she and Jace still definitely have something going on. And you're like,
oh, my gosh.
Anyways, gross. But Jace is like, you have to imagine that Jace has, like, a lot of, like, self-hate about this situation going on. Because I think Liliana also, like, grosses him out a lot of the time.
She's hanging out with zombies.
Yes, exactly. She does some really messed up stuff. And I think he's like, I'm attracted to you, but also I hate the fact that I am because you're really kind of terrible.
It's like when you like fell in love with that dirty metal band roadie.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh God, but I can, I'm attracted to you, but you haven't washed in 3 days. And
exactly.
You smell like a speaker.
Like, oh man. It's like a band and you're like, the music you make is great, but man, you guys lead messed up lives. It's like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then there's also like someone's like, so Gideon's competing in the trials and he's in the same group with Jero for a while. And then they do Bantu's trial and Gideon is just like horrified by how many people die. And then they get to the final part of Bantu's trial where they're like going up to Bantu and Bantu's like, there's too many of you. And so like the cost of like passing this final trial is like you have to have one human heart. So you have to like they kill each other.
What? This
and
is
tear each other's
messed up.
And they, like tear each other's hearts out. And Gideon is like, what? We all made it here. What do you mean there's too many of us that survived this trial? So they all like murder each other and Gideon's like, this is effed up.
This is like cruel reality, right?
It's yeah. Yes, okay. That's cruel reality is when Jero like drowns like one of his friends.
Whoa.
It's like super messed up, right? Okay, so that happens. There's all this trial stuff and they're like, this is messed up. And Samet tries to like is like, Jero, if I can convince him, he's like so devoted that he'll be able to convince everyone else. But Jero's like, no, I'm gonna freaking die in this final trial. Don't you even try and stop me. And she gets locked away as a heretic, and then they have to fight each other in the final battle. But then as the final battle is being fought, you know, of like of these initiates, the trial of zeal. with Hazoret there, all of a sudden it's like, it's time. It's the hours have begun, right? And the sun like passes between the horns and everyone's like, what's going on? And before this, you get some like really, really messed. We're not even at the most messed up part.
What?
You get, so okay. Like as the hours begin, you go back in time and you read about when Bolas first came to this plane.
Yeah.
And Maria, it's so messed up, right? Because there's like the eight gods there and the gods just try and like fight him, but he just like completely is just as like,
yeah, he's like,
he, like he's, you know, he's
swatting a fly,
absurdly powerful. So he like messes them all up and then he kills every person in Amonkhet who is not a baby.
What?
All of them at once. He's like,
it's one way to deal with a problem.
Nicol Bolas like does the equivalent of detonating an atomic bomb in the city.
Sure.
And everyone who's not a baby.
So the babies grow up and they don't know any better.
Exactly. And so that's what you learned went on, is that he like corrupted the gods so that like they used to be very good and about like protecting and nurturing. And then he made them all about like this fighting and this dying.
Whoa.
And then he killed everyone who wasn't a baby. And so the babies were raised in this culture of the trials. Like, that wasn't Amonkhet's culture beforehand. They had, like, one, you know, they had this one big one, like, once a decade where, like, one sacrificial champion died.
Sure.
And he corrupted all of that and made it so that it's the trials. And it's just, like, basically killing as many people as possible.
Nicol Bolas!
It was super messed up.
Tantrum.
Okay, so then the hours come, and everyone goes down to the river, and the gate opens, and everyone's like, what the F? Because it's just a desert, a freaking desert after it. And they were told that the gate would open, and it would be paradise on the other side when Bolas came. And they're like, it's just a desert, what's going on? And then Razaketh comes down and, like, turns the whole river to blood.
Ew.
And then it turns out that he has, like, control over Liliana's body. She's, like, a puppet, and he makes her walk in this whole river of blood situation. But then all the planeswalkers fight him. And, like, with all of the planeswalkers' powers combined, like Captain Planet, they bring Razaketh down. And this is where Jace gets really grossed out because, like, right, they're all attacking him. And Liliana finally, like, all of these animals that were in the river that died when it got turned to blood because, you know, fish can't survive in a blood river. The real just lesson of Amonkhet, everybody, is fish can't survive in a blood river.
Write
and like
that
these
down.
Crocodiles and stuff. So she animates all of these like undead crocodiles and they just tear them to pieces and eat them. And
nice.
She's just like, Liliana's like getting off on it. She's just like, this is the, she's like, you know, like she's like inhabiting the body of these crocodiles. And
this
she's like,
oh,
yeah. And Jace like straight up throws up.
Does he really?
Oh, God, yes. Jace just like straight up barfs.
Come on, get it together, buddy.
Straight up throws up, but they defeat Razaketh.
So she's only got one to go.
Exactly. And then,
ask a side question?
Okay, yeah.
If she kills all four demons, does she like get her soul back? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Will she then become old and lose her magic?
No, I think the idea is that she got this stuff forever. She
okay,
got it.
Okay.
And then, but then the demons had this contract on her soul.
Okay.
And so she's just like, I want to keep this and not have a contract on my soul. So I just have to kill all the debtors. All
right. Sweet.
Just like if you borrowed loans from four mob bosses and then they had a contract out on you, you're like, well, I want to keep all the money that they gave me.
Yeah.
So what do? I murder the four mob bosses.
It sounds like a great movie.
Yeah. You know, kind of is. I feel like that movie probably exists, but
it's kind of like Kill Bill. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
Anyways, okay. So, but then the three gods, and these are the Locust God, the Scarab God, and the Scorpion God.
Yeah,
these are the ones that Nicol Bolas like hardcore corrupted. And so, just beyond, like in the desert, there's this necropolis where all of the dead who passed the Trial of Zeal are held.
Yes.
And then these three were like kind of like entombed on the side of it. So they start breaking free.
Okay.
And the Scorpion God comes in and Ronus is just like, this is the trial for the gods, right? The gods are also going to be tried when Nicol Bolas comes back to see if they're found worthy. And Ronus starts fighting the Scorpion God and he's super powerful, but the Scorpion God is like more powerful. The Scorpion God
Ronus?
Is like, yes, everything Ronus tries to do, the Scorpion God is just like, whatever. And the Scorpion, like, kills him.
What? Ronus is trampled!
Yeah.
He gives trample!
Nope, it doesn't matter. Ronus is straight up killed by the scorpion god, and as he's like killed, he remembers all of a sudden, like he gets like all of his memory that was wiped clean of beforehand comes back, and he's like this, like he's like despairs because he's like, we were corrupted, like things weren't supposed to be this way. I've led these people in a false faith for all this time.
Wow, that's a brutal and, like, last thought.
Yeah. And then he, like, enchants his, like, you know, his big stakes, his snake staff.
Yeah.
And throws it at the scorpion god, and it's, like, a giant, living, poisonous serpent. And the scorpion god just, like, breaks it in half. Oh. Right? And then the other gods are like, we're in trouble.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
And that's where we're at?
And that's where we're at. So.
R.I.P. Ronus.
Yeah. He died big time.
Well, that is some, like, real messed up S, I just have to say.
It's really messed up. I think the most messed up part is when Nicol Bolas, in the past, you see him just murder, like, everyone in the city.
Do we know his purpose yet? Like, why he has done this?
It seems like, my guess is that he needed, because you see him come to the plane, and he's thinking, he's like, I've only got a few hours before all of my magic is, like, right, because I think it happens right after the mending.
Okay.
So the mending is when all of the planeswalkers lost being basically godlike.
Yes.
And so he's like, I only have a couple more hours, and he need to set in motion a plan to someday regain these godlike powers and not be a mortal dragon.
Okay.
So my guess is it seems like he's made this plan to create an army of undead. Right? Because now he has all of these insanely well-trained fighting zombies.
Yes.
And you missed that. So Amonkhet, there's a magic on the plane that reanimates everything.
Okay.
So, like, the magic of the plane was that anything that died was reanimated.
Whoa.
Which is part of why there's so many zombies there. Like, even outside of the city, everything that dies comes back.
Okay.
As a zombie.
Oh, that is brutal.
Yeah.
Looking kind of bad for the Gatewatch. Can I just put that out there?
Yeah. Yeah, because we'll talk about some of the cards that we've gotten we've seen as our previews.
Oof.
So.
Rough.
Yeah. Anyways, that is pretty sad story time with Megan. Had a lot to catch you guys up on.
Any news on Nicol Bolas' headache, by the way?
No, you know, he hasn't appeared on the plane yet.
Okay.
So we'll have to wait.
All right, still waiting for news on that egg.
Yeah.
Of Devastation preview cards.
That's right, everybody. There have been tons of previews that have come out, including one that we got to preview.
Yes.
If you would like to go watch that cat sketch yet again.
Oh, it's so good.
You can find it on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MTAcast.
That's right.
Yeah. There you go. But there's also been just a buttload.
Just a buttload of previews.
I wasn't going to say buttload. I meant to say buttload.
Really? And then you just said buttload?
I just said buttload.
I was so happy that you said buttload. It was a great moment in my life.
Just a buttload.
So the set's going to be fully spoiled, I believe, like this Friday.
Yes, by this weekend, because next weekend is my favorite time of year.
Pre-release with the pre-release.
You get to play so much magic in a weekend.
And this weekend is the pre-pre-release.
That's right, which you can watch over on Loading Ready Run's Twitch channel.
Yeah, it's super great.
And
they've got a great crew of people coming up to Victoria to do it this time. So make sure you check that out. Get some tips for your pre-release, which will be the next weekend. And I can't wait!
Yeah.
So number one card we got to talk about, Megan.
Yeah.
Nicol Bolas.
Himself.
God Pharaoh.
Nicol Bolas the God Pharaoh. Which, if you didn't see that name coming, how not? Anyways, moving on.
It is 4 blue. Black, red.
That's right. Good old, you know, his fallback Grixis colors.
Grixis town.
Yep.
So we had speculated what this card would be like. Mm-hmm. And one of them, I said his ultimate should be you win the game, which is just dumb. They're never going to put it on a card. But
yeah.
But his ultimate, which is -12. He comes in, by the way, with 7 loyalty. His -12, exile each non-land permanent your opponent's control. So
you win the game.
You pretty much win the game.
So basically you win the game.
And it kind of mirrors what he did when he came to Amonkhet, as we learned in story time.
Yeah.
Brutal. His -4 ability is he deals 7 damage to target opponent or creature an opponent controls.
I like that it's just okay. Target opponent.
Yeah.
So your opponent just can't be at 7.
Yeah. No.
Like, if they're at 7, they're just dead.
I play Nicol Bolas and I kill you?
Yeah. This also means that in like, in the course of 3 turns, you could deal 14 to them.
That's insane.
Because it comes in with 7, you minus 4 it, yeah. Then you plus 1 or plus 2 it, and you minus 4 it again.
You're dead.
Like, okay.
The plus 2 is target opponent exiles cards from the top of his or her library until he or she exiles a non-land card. Until end of turn, you may cast that card without paying its mana cost.
Yeah, reasonable.
I'm just going to take your stuff and play with it.
Yep.
Like it's my toy.
Yep.
That's what Bola says.
That's an absurd plus 2.
It actually is.
That's just incredible.
Doesn't matter what you get.
No. Because at that point, like, Bolas is at 9.
Yeah. And then...
You can also plus 1, each opponent exiles 2 cards from his or her hand. 2 cards! 2 cards!
At this point in the game, those are the last 2 cards they have, sure. If they even have 2.
If they even have 2.
Wow. Nicol Bolas.
And if they don't, you can just get a card out of their library. Jeez.
I don't know how you ever beat this card, but maybe you're not supposed to because...
Yeah.
That's the story.
Yep.
That's the story.
Which, we've been talking about this. Amonkhet was the plane that it seems like that they made to be destroyed.
Yeah, yeah. We always wanted to see a plane.
It was like, okay, fine. Do you want to see a plane completely, just completely trashed?
Yes.
Well, here we go. We built a plane just so we could trash it for you.
Yeah, that's kind of what's
happening. Like a car that you get from the junkyard so people can beat it up with baseball bats.
Have you done that?
I wish.
It's like one of those places where you can go in and pay money to smash plates.
Yeah, that's stuff. What I was thinking of. That's the same places that sometimes they have like a junkyard car. And you like beat it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bolas really taking names.
Taking names and destroying planes.
Yep.
Nicol Bolas. Nicol Nicky Bolas. B.
My name's Nicky B. I take names and destroy planes, baby.
Oh, that's good. Put it on a t-shirt.
So, next we have the Locust God. So, ooh, the three, you know, the gross. Three gods that he hardcore corrupted and then put on the side of this necropolis. We have the Locust God, the Scarab God, and the Scorpion God.
So, the Locust God, I am massively creeped out by.
Yeah.
It is disgusting. You're real
grossed out by this guy.
I don't know what it is about segmented bug bodies, but it really bothers me. And it's
when you say it like
huge.
That, I'm grossed out also.
Ooh, can you imagine the sound of his locust wings? And all his little babies. Anyways. It's a good card, though.
Yeah.
So there's that.
4 blue red. Oh, I forgot that when the Locust God comes in, right? The Scorpion God kills Ronus. And the Locust God comes in and he releases like this massive locust that start eating the Hecma.
Ew.
So you're like,
Hecma.
Yum. Water magic. You learn that the Hecma is Kefnet's water magic.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, moving on.
4 blue red.
Yes. Legendary creature god flying. 4/4. Whenever you draw a card, create a 1/1 blue and red insect creature token with flying and haste. 2 blue red, draw a card, then discard a card. When the Locust God dies, return it to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step.
So yeah, that's an ability all of these gods are going to have. Locust, Scarab, yes. And Scorpion. Kind of can't be killed because they just come right, bouncing right back to your hand.
Yep.
Yeah. The inevitability of these gods coming down to destroy you in card form. They're immortalized.
Yeah, they're just gonna, you know, you're just gonna.
Megan's lost all hope now. The Locust God. This
they're
card
just gonna
is.
Wreck ya.
I mean, this card's crazy, right? You get 1/1 blue and red insect tokens just basically kind of for free because you're always going to be drawn cards because that's how the game works.
Yeah. But that's how a game of magic works.
If say you even didn't have that, it's on the card.
Yeah.
So just epic. Just entirely epic.
Just,
mythic, of
just
course.
Just crazy. Yeah. And so all of these gods, also we didn't mention, are Bolas's colors. They're Grixis gods.
Oh, I didn't know
that. So
that
one's blue-red. Then the Scarab God is blue-black.
Another disgusting creature.
I mean, this one's really gross. Scarabs are just gross. Ugh.
3 blue-black. At the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent loses X life and you scry X, where X is the number of zombies you control. Okay. 2 blue-black. Exile target creature card from a graveyard. Create a token that's a copy of it, except it's a 4/4 black zombie. When it dies, of course, return it to your hand at the beginning of next end step. It is a 5/5 for 5 mana.
Mm-hmm.
Plus all of those other abilities. Just craziness.
Just good.
And we'll see that good. Zombies in this set, 4/4s, now have returned to being black as well.
Yes.
After Nicole's return. And that's they're right.
They're
big.
No longer serving the greater good.
Mm-mm.
The greater good. Name that movie.
The greater good?
Yeah.
That somebody says that in it?
Oh, it said a lot.
Oh, I'm having some kind of memory trigger. Give me
the
a clue.
Greater good. It's a circle of people who. It's a bunch of people who say it in the film.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a Hot Fuzz.
Yep. The greater yes. good.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, I love that movie. Oh
my gosh.
Anyway.
Yeah. Scarab God.
Yep. And then the Scorpion God, black red, three black red.
Yeah, three black red. Whenever a creature with a -1/-1 counter on it dies, draw a card. Okay, sure. One black red, put a -1/-1 counter on another target creature. Same ability to return as the other gods. 6/5 for 5.
Oof.
Whoa.
Why?
Why, Magic? Why?
Why?
These cards are nut bones.
Yeah, they are.
The Scorpion God, if you watched the Hour of Devastation preview card show, you saw it almost not get previewed in a giant mound of sand. Thankfully, there was a Very shovel true. On it.
They got the job done.
They got the they job
were gonna
done.
Get it. In the end. They were going to get that card.
I don't know if you watched it. I was laughing so hard. I was laughing so hard, I was almost crying because, anyway, yeah. They got it out in the end. Scorpion God arrived. So yeah, those cards all absolutely insane. I don't know, Megan.
Yeah.
They make me actually kind of feel like hopeless, which I think is
what you're supposed to feel,
you know?
What you're supposed to feel. I also like that this is a different way of you're not just making more indestructible gods.
Right.
In this case they go away and then they just come right back.
And they bloop right back.
I'm like, nope.
So, is there any cards that have just caught your eye that are, you know, maybe not the insane level of these gods that,
well, that
we've
seen? Well, let's talk about the defeat of the Gatewatch.
Oh, yeah.
Gideon's defeat, Jace's defeat, Liliana, Chandra, and Nissa's defeats.
Yeah, this is why we said it wasn't looking good for them, because these cards exist.
Yeah, because these cards are just like Bolas being like... And, like, in all of these, you can see how massive his big dragon hands are in comparison, right? Like, Chandra's defeat is Chandra, like, on his hand.
You're right. He's huge.
He's huge. He's always been a giant dragon. Ooh. And this just, like, really brings home, like, how big is this dragon? So big. And his power in the stories, his power is just absurd, right? He, like, destroys this entire plane, essentially, and rebuilds gods. In, like, you know, a couple, like, next to no time. And it's like, oh, Gideon, you can make yourself indestructible? That's nice.
That's cute, Gideon.
Oh, Chandra, you can make some fires?
Adorable.
Cute. Like, oh, all right. So, yeah.
All of these cards deal with if you're playing their Planeswalker card or other
spells of their color.
Of their color.
So like Chandra's defeat, for instance, is a single red instant, deals 5 damage to target red creature or red Planeswalker. If that permanent is a Chandra Planeswalker, you may discard a card if you do draw a card.
Well, so, yeah. I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen to him yet, but I got to say... Looking pretty,
yeah.
Pretty sketch.com.
Maria, do you have a favorite card that you've seen so far?
Well, obviously, I love the card we previewed on our show, Pride Sovereign.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to take a moment to say, because we didn't really get a chance to talk about it. We did a cool little sketch around it. But basically, it's a cat that births out more cats.
Yep.
It's a 2/2. It gets +1/+1 for each other cat you control. Mm-hmm. You can pay white and then tap and exert it. So it's a different kind of exert. Create 2/1/1 white cat creature tokens with lifelink. So it's like bearing down kittens, even though it's a dude on the card. So I don't understand. But yeah, I am really excited to see if we can make some cat deck shenanigans happen.
Yeah.
In Standard, I think it's going to be a pretty tough order, but perhaps this card will be very good in a modern cat deck, which I don't imagine to be tier one or anything like that, but I think it could be pretty good. We've got Regal Caracal. Craig Wesco made a pretty neat little article about making a green-white cat deck in modern, so I'm excited. I don't know. It would be super cool if we were able to play with that card in Standard, but yet to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah. So I bet you can imagine a card that I'm a huge fan of. Hour of Revelation, three white. Hour of Revelation costs three less to cast if there are 10 or more non-land permanents on the battlefield. Destroy all non-land permanents.
Why is this card? That's all I have to say. Why is this card?
Goodbye, Gideon. Goodbye, Heart of Kirin.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll see you all never. Suck it.
There's so many board wipes in this set. There's this one.
Yeah.
And then there's Bantu's Destroy Everything.
Is Bantu's Destroy Everything a real card?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, there it is. There
Bantu's
it is.
Last Reckoning. Yes.
Bantu's Destroy Everything.
One black, destroy all creatures, and then your lands don't untap. Who cares? Just for a turn.
Everything's gone.
It only costs three. This kind of card that enrages me as a creatures player.
It's beautiful.
Just enraged.
It's great.
But Megan, I think like you're getting set up here. They're putting the ball on the tee and handing you a driver.
I mean, one can only hope that I can pick up a golf club and be like, boom.
Here it comes.
I'm describing accurately how golf works, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay, good.
It goes boom.
Just making sure.
There's a great card that it's a multicolor card. Which is, besides being adorable, has a great name. The River Hoopoo. That's how you say it. The Hoopoo.
Is it the Hoopoo or is it the Hoopoe?
Hoopoo.
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 River Hoopoo.
By a river of blood.
After the noise that it makes.
Hoopoo. Hoopoo. This is a real bird, by the way. I learned.
I believe you.
But,
of course it is.
I don't know what it sounds like. We should go look it up.
We should.
All right, tell the good people what it does.
Okay, the River Hoopoo is green-blue for a 1-3 flying. For three green-blue, you gain two life and draw a card. What a card. What a card,
it's so
Maria.
Good.
I like it. Do you have the sound of a hoopoo for us?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, hold on. There's an ad.
What garbage.
Oh, wait. Those are what pay the bills.
Yeah, never mind.
Please don't use an ad blocker.
Hey, everybody. We understand if you use an ad blocker, but if you ever watch stuff on our YouTube channel, please consider turning off your ad blocker while you're on our YouTube page.
It does kind of sound like it.
Hoop, hoop,
hoop, hoop,
hoop, hoop, hoop, hoop.
There you have it.
Yep. That's pretty great.
This card is just like so good. I love it. It reminds me of the Simic bird that was a
Ice Feather Raven?
Ice Feather Raven, that's it.
Yeah. Nice.
I made a little joke about Farm to Market on our Twitter account. Which is a split aftermath card in the set because I just really I guess it makes a little bit of sense when you think about it. Two and a white, destroy attacking or blocking creature, which is farm.
Yeah, and like you're like farming bodies the way that Nicole Bolas was farming humans.
But this is the part that really confuses me. Mark it, two and a blue, draw two cards, then discard two cards.
You're like buying things and paying for them.
But my question is, why are markets still operating after Nicole Bolas returns?
That's a good question. There's like a lot of stuff where I'm just like, really? Like the River Hoopoo? And I'm just like, how is this bird still around?
Hey, I made it. There's a river of blood.
Hello.
Hoopoo.
It is like, look at it. You can see it sitting by that river of blood.
It is.
It's like gross. Like Razaketh just like digs his claws into his own arm and just like gouges his own arm.
Sick.
And his blood falls into the river and then the whole river turns to blood.
Do you know what a card people are talking about that what? I actually think is kind of creepy is Hollow One.
Okay, tell me about it.
So it's a 5-mana, 4/4 artifact creature golem, and it's kind of one of those old sarcophaguses that they would trap the dissenters in.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. It gets it has two less to cast for every card that you have discarded
or cycled this turn.
And it has cycling itself for two. So cost reduction, colorless spell. It's a dangerous territory. If you're playing something like Cathartic Reunion, for example, you can play it on turn three.
Or if you're playing a New Perspectives combo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So this card could turn out to be a thing. It is a rare. I just thought it was kind of cool. The art is kind of really creepy because that sarcophagus doesn't even have any hands anymore, but it's coming for you.
No, well, the ones in the story didn't have hands.
Oh, yeah. Because
their hands stuck out.
You put your hands in them. That was like, that's messed up. We also know what God Pharaoh's gift is.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because there's one where you can search for this.
Yes.
What is God Pharaoh's gift, Maria?
All right, so...
Tell us about it!
Long-awaited God Pharaoh's gift, 7-mana artifact. Oof. Whoa, it's rare. At the beginning of combat on your turn, you may exile a creature card, then...
From your graveyard.
If you do, create a token that's a copy of that creature, except it's a 4/4 black zombie, gains haste until end of turn. And guess what? You just get to keep it forever.
Yeah, it just stays. It's not like, and then at the end of your turn, exile it. It's like, nope. It's a 4/4 there zombie. It is. With there haste. It is. The end.
Yeah, and we've got new mechanics. 4/4 zombies kind of is the name of the game, yes. Like with Eternalize, which we're going to have Judge Rob on next week to give us the lowdown on all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you feel prepared for your pre-release.
That's right. We also have Afflict.
Yeah, Afflict.
Bane of control players.
Yeah. Afflict is kind of a cool mechanic. Very flavorful.
Yeah. Exert is coming back, obviously, except we're seeing it in other contexts.
Yep.
Like, essentially, quote-unquote, exerted lands.
Yes.
Where these lands don't untap. Or creatures that you can exert
in other ways.
Yeah, it's not just attacking.
Right.
Which is pretty cool, I think.
And deserts matter more in this set.
Yeah, that's right. We have deserts. There are more deserts, which I also love if you look at the deserts. You remember the, like, Oketra's monument?
Yeah.
The deserts are the worn monuments.
Look at that. You're right.
Of those gods. Isn't that pretty sweet?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that we're making deserts more important this time around. And yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff there. And of course, Invocation's spoiled as well. So if somebody plays, you know, like a card against you, like a Blood Moon.
Yep.
It's probably not going to do too bad in Limited, but.
No, who cares? But.
It could happen. Let's just say it could happen.
Yep.
In Cleveland, by the way, speaking of Invocation's preview, Reed Duke had drafted a your favorite card, Cryptic Command.
What?
So in the team draft, Reed Duke had Cryptic Command.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
Jealous.
He didn't cast it.
Jealous.
And chat was going, they were losing their minds because we knew he had it in his hand. But the thing was, he just had better things to do. So he, like, was drawing cards with Hieroglyphic Illumination. He essence scattered something. And everyone's like, no! Just play your Cryptic Command!
Oh. How can you have better
things? I don't know.
What the?
I don't know.
There's nothing better to do than Cryptic Command. Unless it's Sphinx's Revelation.
It was brutal. It was, like, painful sitting there and being like, okay.
I guess a game, you know a game is going really well when you don't,
when you
need,
don't
to
need to
cast your Cryptic Command. You're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
I can just keep doing other stuff besides casting this card.
There is another fantastic Duke moment that I'll tell you about when we get to that segment that is quite hilarious. But yeah. Invocations return in the set and some pretty cool ones spelled like Damnation. That kind of thing. So yeah, we'll go over more of these next week with our friend Judge Rob, and get you ready for that pre-reaction.
Yeah, did you know what that like took me a moment? I was like thinking through. I was like, she's saying pre-release action.
Yeah.
But it sounds like she's saying the pre-reaction. Like you're gonna react to something, but this is before.
Vintage Cube.
That's right, everybody. A cube is on Magic Online, and it is the sick Vintage Cube.
Yeah, this is a cube you don't want to mess with.
Oh, it's amazing.
Or maybe you do, and you want to do some really messed up, broken stuff.
I've drafted so many Signets. That's the most.
Oh, yeah.
That's the most of what I've been doing. But let's see. So far, Maria, I have hardcast an Emrakul.
Whoa.
Yes.
Just using Signets and stuff?
Yeah, just with a lot of ramp.
All right, sweet.
I had, like, Grim Monolith and then, like, other things that tap for 1,000,000 mana.
Yeah.
And I only got to hard cast that Emrakul once, but, man, was it a joy.
That sounds great. I've never hard cast an Emrakul.
It was beautiful.
You did something.
It.
What did you say you did on turn three?
Oh, on turn three. So this was my second deck was like just so busted. I had a Black Lotus and I had a Soul Ring.
What?
I drafted both of those things. And then I had like three other Signets and a Ral Zarek and I had like Upheaval.
Cool.
And like, so I was like losing to this green ramp deck and then I just Upheavaled everything. Because most, they only had a couple of lands and lands at all, and they had like mostly just developed like all of these mana dorks.
Yeah.
And then I got to go, so I like upheavaled, and then I played my land for turn, and then cast a soul ring, and then off that soul ring cast a signet.
Oh, yes.
I had multiple turn ones like that.
Yes.
With this deck. It was amazing. But the game in question, specifically, I also had a Ral Zarek in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, this is a game where I went turn one, like, island, soul ring, signet. And then the next turn two, I played Ral Zarek. And yeah. Ral Zarek's plus one is you untap a target permanent and tap another target permanent.
Yeah.
And so on my next turn, and I'd only played island specifically so that my Sundering Titan would only hit one of my lands, and meanwhile hit at least two of my opponents. And so then on my next turn, I tapped my three lands, my Soul Ring, and my Signet, and then used Ral Zarek to untap Soul Ring and cast Sundering Titan.
Oh my gosh. That was so beautiful.
Amazing. And then my opponent scooped on the spot.
Oh yeah. Scooperino cappuccino.
I'm about to destroy two of your lands.
So rude.
And I have this giant creature in play.
Yeah.
And if you kill this giant creature, then I kill more of your lands.
It was
so good.
So crazy. If you haven't had a chance to go draft it on Magic Online, I suggest you give it a try because
it's so much fun.
It's very fun. And you get a lot of people are like, oh, do I get to play with like Black Lotus and stuff? You know, people who have been out of the game for a while. And I'm like, well, no, not really. But
sometimes you do.
Sometimes you do.
I also, in that same deck, I cast like multiple early Frost Titans.
Oh,
like Frost Titan is great. I'm trying to think of like what other I had upheaval. Like I said, I love upheaval. It's so good because you just like develop all the signet mana,
and then
you just like bounce everything, and then you just play a bunch of signets on that same turn, and then your opponent has nothing. Oh, it's amazing.
If you want some tips on cube drafting, you can go over to our YouTube channel. Of course, we've got Cube April there with her tips on drafting various cubes. And then you can watch her on her sister channel, youtube.com/MTAplays, to watch her play out some of these decks, too. A lot of people were tweeting at her asking if she had tips. Well, that's where you find
them.
Guess
what? She does have tips.
She's got so many tips.
She has so many tips.
Lots of tips. It's like a waitress on a good day.
It's like Frosted Tips in the 90s.
Oh, man. Do you ever miss Frosted Tips?
No.
Not for a second.
GP recap.
All right, this is going to be a bit of a blast from the past.
That's right, because what's in the past? Things that already happened.
Things that have blasted.
Yeah. Like the space program.
Yeah.
Projects.
Yeah. I wish we were going to Mars, you know. Like,
yeah, me too. I mean, okay, here's a question. Do you think that we'll go to Mars in our lifetime?
Humans?
Do you think people will go to Mars in our lifetime?
That's a good question, actually. I'm going to say yes. I'm very hopeful.
Yeah.
A lot of things need to go a little differently for that to happen.
Yes.
But
yes. Like, my wonder is, like, will we be so focused on getting the world to not fall apart that, like, we won't have time?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Who has time for Mars?
I don't know. Who has time for Mars?
Earth is pretty effed, so we need to pay attention to that for a little bit.
Would you go on the trip that's, like, 10 years, you in this little pod?
10 years?
It takes, like, 10 years, I think, to get to Mars from there. You and some people. I don't know how many it is. And you are going to go to Mars. And that's, like, permanent. And you're going to colonize it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you on that trip? It's like a tough decision because you get the chance to be a pioneer. You're the first person to ever do that. You're starting a new civilization. However, you're like leaving behind literally everything other than yourself and probably like a Kindle that allows you to bring some books along. I'm just assuming that the space program is going to allow you to do that. I don't know. You're never going to have an egg again, probably, unless they pack a chicken. You're never going to eat a steak. That's just not going to happen, period. You probably won't ever get another massage unless they pack a massage therapist.
Hey, can somebody unpack the massage therapist?
Which, if they're being smart, they would really bring one along.
Yeah, they really would.
Anyway, this is all hypothetical.
That's true. Man, that's like there's a lot of really good stuff that you would miss out on.
Yeah, there is. There is. However, you get to be the first Martian.
You would be remembered for as long as there are people.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
All right, you ruminate on that.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Through the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about Vegas and Cleveland. So, GP Vegas was enormous. We had three different tournaments. It was crazy town.
Yeah.
Legacy, yeah. Limited, Modern.
Holy cow.
A lot of stuff went down.
Maria, you played Modern.
I did. I played Boggles, which we had much... There was much consternation and gnashing of teeth coming up to that conclusion. But in the end, it turned out to be a totally fine choice, as it usually is. The Bogs went to Bogtown, ended 10-5, which means I get another pro point. So now I've got two whole pro points.
Oh, yeah.
And I was very happy to make day two. So that was fantastic. The thing that was interesting for me was that I went in expecting to play against a lot of Death Shadow, because that is notably the quote-unquote best deck in the format right now.
Yeah.
What happened is I did play a little bit of it, but I did not play it the majority of the time.
Yeah.
I mainly played against Affinity.
Yeah.
And Tron.
Yeah.
So Affinity is a pretty good matchup for Boggles generally, because they're trying to attack your life total, and one thing the Boggles deck does very well is gain life. And also, they can't kill your stuff, at least not before sideboarding. You have absolutely no worries about attaching, loading up your Boggles and just smashing face, because there's nothing they can do. Also, you have very good sideboard options. You have three Stony Silence, or maybe even four if you're crazy. So, my Affinity matchups were fantastic. I only lost to it once all weekend, and I played it several times. Tron, however, is a very bad matchup for Boggles, because they main deck this card, which is my new archenemy, and that is Chalice of the Void. Chalice, if you're listening to me, get wrecked, because you're a jerk, first of all. Because my deck literally cannot win if you Chalice me early on in the game, which is what happened in two of the matches. Chalice on one on turn two happened to me four times, which is just pretty devastating. However, it made me think, Megan, that what I'm going to do is put Kusali Pride Mage in my board and be ready to just smash up these chalices if I can. Anyway,
so
that was my takeaway from that weekend. It was super fun. Had just a great time playing that deck and playing Modern. There's going to be a Modern coming up in, what is it, Oklahoma City or something like that?
That's in like December.
But I'm already thinking about it, Megan.
Oh.
Because I want to do it again.
You should go.
I want to run it back.
You should go.
Aren't you going?
I'm working.
Oh, you're working it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. All right, we've just figured everything out. Well, then,
that's that.
So that was pretty cool. Did you see any like crazy shenanigans over in Legacy or Limited? You were doing some write-ups?
Legacy is just nuts.
Yeah, it is.
As a format? Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, anything can happen.
Anything.
Basically.
Literally freaking anything. Do you know what? So I was... when I was doing the day one undefeated profiles for Legacy, it was super interesting because one of the guys who was 9-0 is a pro from Canada, Sam Tharmaratnam, and he was like, "This is my first time really playing Legacy."
Whoa!
And he was like, in this little interview thing, he was like, "One of the most important things is like it's so strange to me." Legacy doesn't feel like it's about card advantage. It's about tempo advantage.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I thought that was super fascinating. I think that my favorite deck is probably lands. Because all it does is do shenanigans with lands.
Lands!
And then make a 2020 Merit Lage token.
Merit Lage! Coming at you!
With some Thespian Stage shenanigans.
Oh,
it's pretty great.
Yeah. That's a funny deck.
That was massively entertaining. That's probably my favorite. But there's lots of like Grixis Delver.
Yeah.
And Grixis Delver. And Sultai Delver. And other Delver decks.
So many Delvers.
Yeah.
How many secrets are left for this Delver to go find?
So, anyways, it was pretty interesting. Like, it's a crazy format, and I don't, you know, I don't know what I would do.
I don't know a lot about it, so it's something, you know, it's one of those areas of growth that we still have yet, like, to, like, expand, potentially.
Yeah, one day.
These legacy formats.
One day. Yeah.
Yeah. Any other Vegas news other than the fact there was 115 goddamn degrees?
You know? No.
So Cleveland was
That's
another
right.
thing that happened. Last weekend, Team Limited. Peach Garden Oath took down the whole thing, which...
Everyone's shocked.
Color me surprised. If you had said, which team do you think is going to win this GP?
Do you think there's a Crayola color called Surprised? I don't even know.
I
bet you this is how it works. Is it's wrapped in one color, but it's actually
it's
another
color.
Yeah.
Or when you color a little bit and then the other color comes out.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Crayola, if you're listening, I know somebody from Crayola is listening to this podcast right now. Take it to the top.
Do you know what? It probably exists. Or we can go to the Crayola, make a Crayola in Mall of America and just make Color Me Surprised.
I've never made a crayon in the Crayola in the Mall of America. Can you really do it?
Yeah, it's like pretty new.
Could I make one called Birthday Party and it's one solid color but with flecks of other colors in it?
I'm sure. Oh my gosh,
I'm so excited. Megan's looking it up. This is going to happen. Okay, so what happened? Peach Garden Oath won the whole thing. Ask anybody if they're like, which team's going to win? You'd probably say Peach Garden Oath. I mean, these guys are really good at the game. They've been putting up top finishes all the time in team events, and they just took this thing down. So congrats to them. And we saw a lot of really good teams with ladies left and right doing really well. Lady team finished 10th with our good friend Jamie, who's a streamer. So that was really awesome to see. And the moment I was talking about earlier with Reed Duke that was kind of funny was that he had sideboarded in a fog.
Yes.
And
Haze of Pollen. Yep. No?
Yeah, that's right. Haze of Pollen. And he and his opponent had attacked him. He was at one, attacked him with just a fan bear because that's all they had.
Yeah.
And this game had been insane back and forth. And we're all like, Reed's at one. Okay, here comes a fan bear for one damage. Like, good game, buddy. And Reed's like, fog. Next turn!
Yeah, it was pretty great.
It was so good.
Pretty great.
We also saw somebody win with Approach of the Second Sun.
Nice.
Which was very entertaining.
Yeah.
We also saw team drafting, which is not something we get to watch a lot in coverage, and we've been watching it a little bit more because of the Team Draft Super League, and it was neat to kind of see how those team drafts came together in the top four on day two. But yeah, man. I love watching team events. Team Gnarled Pack. Athena gave me some gruff in the chat.
Oh, I'm sure.
For breaking up the pack.
Breaking up the pack.
Oh, man.
The Gnarled Pack.
Gnarled Pack.
The Gnarled Pack.
We have a theme song.
It
now.
Was a magic pack. The Gnarled Pack. They ate fruit snacks. Gnarled Pack.
This is a great tune. So anyway, of course, you can check out highlights, twitch.tv/magic, and look up those kind of crazy shenanigans from the weekend.
That's right.
And now we're looking forward to Kyoto, where we're going to have the Pro Tour coming up, as well as GP Kyoto.
Yes.
So the GP is going to be on the 22nd, that weekend, and the Pro Tour, Hour of Devastation, is the weekend of the 29th. Mark your calendars for that magic that'll be coming your way through the Teledor into your brain socket.
Wait, why does this socket have a door?
You know, like, can you imagine a little plug-in on the wall, but to get to plug something in, you have to, like, open a little door and then plug it in. That's what it's like.
Okay.
Like in rich people's houses.
I won't buy it, but
they're like, oh, it's so gauche to have your sockets goodness. Open.
Can you imagine someone walking into your home and just being able to look directly at a socket?
Oh, it's rude. It's downright rude.
Disgusting.
Crude. No, I adore all my sockets.
Of course. And if you don't, I simply won't be seen in your house.
Simply won't. I have a lock on my door. There's a tiny key that only the hand of a small mouse may turn.
That's right. I've also trained mice to attend my sockets.
Socket mice. Mic drop. That's the end of the show.
Hey, motherfucker.
Whoa! Things just got real.
I was trying to do this whole show without swearing.
We swore three times.
Yeah, I know. We really went off the rails.
We're sorry if there's children involved. I don't know. Parents, good job. You know when to pull out the earmuffs. I hope you marked the note. You made notations.
That's right.
I wanted to muff the kids.
Honey, did you muff the kids?
And if not, well, they're going to learn one day. Might as well be when they're five years old.
Tell them, remember, kids, swearing is only for people on the pseudo radio.
That's right. Because they can't do it on the real radio.
That's right.
That's sure enough. I had a big potty mouth when I was a child.
I didn't.
I was bad to the bone. I hung out with high schoolers, so that's probably why.
Oh, you're so cool.
Was I? Or was my nickname birth control?
You hung out with high schoolers.
I was a terror. I was a terror that taught them all to practice safe sex until marriage. That's what I was.
Watch out, you don't want to end up with one of these.
Yeah, she really didn't. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Of course, head over to patreon.com/mtacast to join our lovely swear-free family. The Less Than 1% Club, the Best Than 1% Club, gets you access to a whole bunch of sweet thank you gifts, our Discord channel, and a Facebook group if you ask to join. And of course, cardkingdom.com/mtacast is the link to use if you want to buy anything magic related from some of the best people in the game.
If you're already picking out some of these sweet singles that you're going to put into some upcoming standard or modern or EDH decks, that's the place to go to get them.
I'm already thinking about that cat deck.
Yeah.
For real. Cat deck.
Till next week. Cat deck.